WBEN-FM, Buffalo, New York. Richard, we got a lot of things to do today.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Dr. Baird with us. You know, it's been a long time since you were here, Doc. How's it been going? How's the battle been going?
Looks like we're losing this battle unless we get more active legislation and more people are aware of what's going on.
More active legislation. What kind of legislation, Doc?
Well, we certainly don't want to legalize heroin. That's one of the things which New York City's trying to do. Two, we don't want to take it easy with marijuana, because we're going to get more youngsters on marijuana, which in turn, eventually, a lot of them will go on to heroin.
You don't go along with this business of legalizing it?
No, I don't go. I think the United States ought to just look at Iran, India, Africa, Morocco, where they've had it legalized, and they ought to see what it's done to those people. They're self-indulgent, they don't work, they're impoverished, and our Governor Schaefer's committee ought to look at that. You don't have to have that happen to our country.
You're right.
I wasn't aware that they're trying to legalize heroin.
Oh, yeah.
I've been reading the pros and cons of marijuana, but I didn't know about heroin.
Well, some big shot got his kid busted, and he's now the ardent spokesman. He wants to legalize heroin so his little boy doesn't get sent to jail.
Oh, as long as he doesn't have an ulterior motive.
This is Dr. Robert W. Baird, who, as you know, is a Fifth Avenue internist, who gives every moment of his spare time to working with the lads up in Harlem. He lives up there, lives with them, fights with them, works with them all the time. He runs a thing called Haven, Help Addicts Voluntarily End Narcotics, in Harlem. Awfully glad to have you with us today, Doc.
Thanks, Alan.
Talk some more about it. We've been going backwards during our last 27 days here, each day representing another year backward into the time when we started this show 27 years ago. We are back now to 57. 1957, we came up with a song like this. 76 trombones led the big parade, with 110 cornets close at hand. They were followed by rows and rows of the finest virtuosos, the cream of every famous band. 76 trombones caught the morning sun, with 110 cornets right behind. There were more than 1,000 reeds springing up like weeds. There were horns of every shape and kind. There were copper-bottomed timpani and horse platoons, thundering, thundering all along the way. Double bell euphoniums and big bassoons, each bassoon having its big bat. Say, there were 50 mounted cannon in the battery, thundering, thundering louder than before. Clarinets of every size and trumpeters who'd improvise a full octave higher than the score. Seventy-six trombones led the big parade, when the order to march rang out loud and clear. Starting off with a big bang bong on the Chinese gong, by a big bang bonger at the rear. 76 trombones hit the counterpoint, while 110 cornets played the air. Then I modestly took my place as the one and only bass, and I oompa'd all around the square. Seventy-six trombones hit the counterpoint, while 110 cornets played the air. Then I modestly took my place as the one. base, and I oompa, 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 pa. And I oompa all around the square.
By golly, that takes me back.
Yeah, 1957, huh?
Meredith Wilson, yes, who proved that you didn't have to have a lot of dirt to have a hit show on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was a great one.
Music Man.
Music Man, yes, there were some beautiful songs in it, too. Let's talk seriously with Doc Baird a little bit. You say you're making strides, but not very fast, huh?
Very slow, very tedious. Every step we go forward once, seems like we take two backwards.
Is it true, Doc, that if a kid gets one shot of heroin, he's hooked?
Well, the mere fact that he takes the first shot is intriguing. Why does he take the first shot? And then they get such a reaction that whether they take the next shot a week, a month, or a year later, they're already hooked. And this is the most horrible part, because heroin is the most difficult thing to be able to withdraw a youngster from. And as evidenced by so many that we've got that are dying in New York City.
Mm.
Just remember, last year we lost 1,600 kids from dope. And probably in the United States, the end of this year, we'll lose 40,000. This doesn't even make a drop in the bucket. It doesn't even touch any of our legislators. None of these people get concerned about this, and yet we've testified before their committees since 1962. When I went there and I told them about the kids in the service in Vietnam, McNamara told me I didn't know what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. Now we have to pay for it 10 years later.
I read someplace the other day, somebody said that there were more people on dope in the 1880s than there are today. Is that true?
No, this came out of the report that Schaefer produced, saying that because at the time, the turn of the century, women would use these certain preparations for functional discomfort they had, and for cough medicine. But these were drug addicts that were just on medicinal drugs that had been over the counter, like our cough preparations, which the kids here are strung out on also. But that was no problem. The problem is that when you shoot heroin, you've got to compulsively take more and more of it, and it's increasing, it's getting more and more youngsters involved. In fact, as I've been fighting, I'm a little bit disturbed about President Nixon with his overtures to Red China. Because Red China, Chow and Lai had made remarks, which no one picked up here, and we've had press conferences about it. He said, Chow and Lai said that he was raising special opium for America, and he wants to demoralize us. And the president has been very ginger with his approach to Red China, not to aggravate or to alienate any diplomatic ramifications. However, Red China this morning came out with a full blast when we went into Hanoi with our bombing. They didn't care about any of our feelings. They just let us have it on the line. Here, they are raising special opening for America and for American kids, and Chow and Lai has a brazen effrontery to say he intends to turn the West on to opium because they did this to China. They didn't do this to China. It was good old jolly Britain who did this to them. And now you read the papers, and this is why we've been fighting so hard about Red China. Here is it from the Chinese newspapers. I receive the Chinese paper. I try to read about 20 of them a day from China, from Hong Kong. Your 11-year-old kid is found in a coma in Hong Kong with 15 bags of dope. Here's a 43-year-old woman who's found with 6 pounds of pure heroin. Here's another man found with 100 pounds of morphine in Hong Kong. Now, Hong Kong can't raise opium because there's no land available. Where is it coming from? It's coming out of Red China. So that's where we're at this particular stage.
Well, I guess the only thing we can do is let dedicated souls like you, Doc, sit down and tell us about it every once in a while and hope that we'll accomplish something. Is there an organization to which somebody can appeal, somebody can donate their help, somebody can apply, or how can we go about it?
Well, I think the best thing is to write to President Nixon, frankly, to flood him, absolutely flood him with mail, saying that trading with Red China has to be watched very carefully. Because how are you going to be able to stop that trafficking of dope now from Red China when they're so very subtle in the secretive ways? And this has been very difficult. I can't even get to the president. I've tried to write to him many times, but I always get it from a secretary, keep up the wonderful, glorious work. I don't need that pat on the shoulder. It's the kids. We don't want them to die. We don't want this country to be destroyed in another 10 or 15 years. If the rate drug addiction is gone, we're going to be one hell of a problem.
Yes, you're right. Well, as we get down near the end of our time here, Doc, this is the 12th year of the show. And the year is 1957. That was the year of The Music Man and West Side Story. And the best drama of the year went to Look Back in Anger, which I don't remember. Do you, Dick?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was an import from England, wasn't it?
I don't know. Then there was The Bridge on the River Kwai, rated the best picture of the year, despite The Music Man. Oh, wait a minute, it wasn't a movie yet. No, that's right, that was the stage play. Oh, yeah, there was Sir Alec Guinness won the Best Actor Award for his performance in Bridge on the River Kwai, remember?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Pulitzer Prize went to Eugene O'Neill for Long Day's Journey Into Night.
Mm-hmm.
And Profiles in Courage by the late President John F. Kennedy. And that was the year of the sack dress, if you remember. The most popular fashion. It was the most discussed fashion of the year and featured an unfitted shape with a drape with absolutely no shape. And I see a lot of them around today, so I guess it's here to stay with us.
Yeah.
That's one of the nice things that's come out of this funny era we're in. People are wearing whatever's comfortable and the heck with it.
Mm.
The sharp ones, of course, are fallen sucker for the latest trends that are dictated to them, but most people I notice are just sort of enjoying what they've got, all the rags they can find.
Mm-hmm. The casual clothes are in, you know, you can be casual in anything now.
Tell me this, what sort of song can you do for us that's reminiscent of 57?
A pretty ballad.
Which?
Till.
Oh, yes. Meredith wrote another beautiful song in The Music Man. And Remo made an arrangement for me on my Gretsch that is very pretty. Will you play it with me, Rim, Gene?
good to hear that again.
Doc Baird brought a piece of poetry in here called The Toughest Story I Ever Wrote. One I'll never forget. It was a hot, long summer afternoon. Lots of sweat as I sat at my desk. And the phone gave an ominous long ring, and I shot up and wondered who died, what punk would sing. And there was a city editor. And he said, "Joe, cover the story on 60th Street. Sounds like a human interest angle. Kid found dead by the cop on the beat." "Sure, boss." I grabbed my jacket and donned my hat, and off I ran. Hailed a cab and told him, "Get me uptown as fast as you can." I'd rush the story in, and then I'd be free for the rest of the day. And I wondered what had happened for the kid to have ended up this way. The cab screeched to a stop, and I bounced out and ran a yard or two. I'd been there many times, and I'd be glad when this day was through. I saw the police cars with their red lights flashing their messages of despair or gladness, and thought, what would life's story unfold for this afternoon's wild madness? Waving my press card, I walked through the roped-off square and made it upstairs, brushed past the cop in blue, stole through the door and heard, "She really cares." A gentle-faced woman, etched by sorrow before her time, her hair streaked with white, was sobbing in pathetic fright. "Why? Why? My son really was a good boy and sweet to all, but why should he die?" Someone whispered, "He was high." She pressed a pair of tiny baby booties to her face. With a mother's deep compassion and kissing them, she said these were his very first, and bit her lips in anguished passion. Tears streaming down her cheeks, she knew that all his tomorrows had now just become due. She opened a locket, showed a curl of silken hair. This was his first haircut, something real new. She walked to the dresser and caressed his old beat-up baseball mitt. That had won him championships and always made him the number one big hit. His senior class voted him the most handsome, most likely to succeed. But now look, my boy's dead, and heroin's lived to its deadly deed and most vicious creed. I stammered and asked the cop on the beat, "What happened to this young lad?" And his voice intoned, "OD, overdose. His last shot of horse was more than he'd ever had." "Yes," I asked, "why, but why?" And I looked around the room. His father won literary honors galore. His folks seemed regular, and he had made it. His mother said her boy would be no more. His father was honored here, there, and everywhere, and he was great for work in the whole community. His mother had awards for work with the poor and needy and letters for bringing about racial and religious unity. And I said to the cop, "I can't figure it out. He's had everything, good school, plenty of affection." "Yeah," growled the cop, "but his folks were too busy and didn't know about pot or LSD or this terrible affliction." "Yeah, I remember a doctor's kid who was strung out and a judge's daughter who died from junk. And there was Susie, the dancer, whose newborn baby was hooked. And that's no bunk. Imagine a newborn tot hooked because his mom maimed it. That's awful mean. Took 3 weeks in a hospital with shots before they got this little fella really clean. This heroin hits them all. The rich and the poor, the white and the black, the Christian and the Jew. Horse accepts, subjects, and then rejects them, and finally gives them their deadly due." I walked over to the cried-out mother and pressed my hand in hers and shook my head, and my eyes became blind with tears that I tried to stop. Because her boy was dead. To me, the daily story of the drug addict always seemed to be just so dreary, and now I must write the toughest story of my life. For to me, with heart quite weary, this long, hot summer afternoon was one I'd never forget, not this one. For you see, this boy whose life was now completely done was my very own dear son.
Thank you very much, Arthur.
This is a story I see so often, and I only wish America would just realize this could hit them. That's why we can't give up this fight. Can't legalize marijuana and can't legalize heroin.
Then there's nothing we can do to help you, Doc, except to write to our congressmen, senators, and the president, right?
Flood the president with mail so we get some more knowledgeable people on his drug abuse boards. It's great to have television producers and people who've never worked with drug addicts, but why don't you get people who've worked with drug addicts or even get drug addicts themselves so they can relate the story of how dangerous pot is and how many kids have been to college who started with pot who went on to other drugs.
Is that one of your complaints that the board of people who are the commissioners appointed to study are not experts?
Well, I tell you, you just look at all, and I'm not saying anything against him. Art Linkletter is a consultant to the president on drug addiction. And it's a sorrowful thing that his youngster died. But what puts him in a position to be a consultant to the president on drug addiction? But this is what we have. Here you got Governor Schaefer. He's a wonderful governor of Pennsylvania. And, of course, Pennsylvania went on to develop a big problem at Temple University, University of Pittsburgh, with drug addiction. And this man, when he was governor, had no real concept of what the problem is. Now he heads up the committee. Here you have a woman who was the president of the Board of Education in New York City in 1944. Never knew anything about drugs, and she's a consultant to Governor Rockefeller. It's, you know, it's like having a ballet teacher teach me how to box.
I see what you mean.
You've got to have knowledgeable people. I'm sure when you were operated on, you wouldn't want just an average doctor. You've got to have a specialist to operate, otherwise you're not going to be around. And that's what it is. In every field, you must have specialists in this field, and it's the same with drug addiction. We've got more kids strung out than we've ever had before, despite we're spending billions of dollars. And we've got more kids dying. If you had a big industry, a big corporation, if they were losing money, and they had people dying, they would certainly get a new chairman or a new board of directors.
And there are plenty of people available, eh?
They are available, but I think a lot of it is for political expediency. We could just get it out of the ball game of repaying a favor to one guy who supported you for an election. You can go on a golf course and the guy can help you, teach you how to play golf, but you're not going to ask this very doctor, say, look, deliver my daughter, because he's a general practitioner. He's had no experience in delivering babies. And this should, we should apply this to the government, too. Let's get the most qualified people, or let's have open meetings of it. You don't have a hearing on marijuana, and then you don't call in the drug addicts themselves. You call in deans of schools, you call in businessmen, you call lawyers. Why don't you go to the problem itself? Ask 10,000 kids who've been strung out on drugs. What did you start with, son? That's where it's at. Don't ask a professor of a law school who wouldn't be able to recognize the difference between a kid being strung out on pot, LSD, or heroin.
This is Dr. Robert Baird, the founder of and the mainstay of Haven. How do you say that, Harlem?
Help Addicts Voluntarily and Narcotics. It's located in Harlem.
Oh, yeah. Help Addicts Voluntarily
and
narcotics. Back in 1957, Dr. Richard, got a letter from a man named Lasky in Van Nuys, California. Said, here's a story I thought you and your listeners might enjoy. This is back in 57. A little boy finished his prayers by saying, and dear God, take care of Mommy, take care of Daddy, take care of baby sister and Aunt Jenny and Uncle Jim and Grandma and Grandpa. And then he said, and please, dear God, take care of yourself or we'll all be sunk. That nice.
Mm-hmm.
And here was one. We recently bought our 3-year-old son Barry a punching bag that you have to fill with air, and it takes the form of a man. We then ask him who we would like to name it for, and this little boy says, Offrey Goffrey. Now when he misbehaves, we tell him we had better be good or we'll let the air out of Arthur. It works every time. Arthur still has a lot of air.
Mm.
It's from Mrs. Holland of Greenville, South Carolina. Remember the big Sinatra record came out of a movie called The Joker? side you remember all the way? When somebody loves you, it's no good unless she loves you all the way. Happy to be near you when you need someone to cheer you. All the way. Taller than the tallest tree is. That's how it's got to feel. Deeper than the deep blue sea is. That's how deep it goes, if it's real. Yeah, when somebody needs you, it's no good unless she needs you all the way. Through the good or lean years and for all the in-between years, come what may. Who knows where the road will lead us? Only a fool would say. But if you let me love you, it's for sure I'm gonna love you. Dr. Baird, thank you, sir, for coming again. I can only wish you luck and keep your good health. I wish the world were full of people like you. See you tomorrow, folks.
Today's program was edited to comply with time requirements. This is the CBS Radio Network.